Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with Andy Lipson. Today's topic will be centered around concentration camps,
immigration, mainstream politics, deportations,
and
changes to laws and things. So,
laws and things.
Yeah.
Well, can edit the thing.
No, it's fine. It's a grab bag because we were talking about discussing reparations. We had talked about maybe bringing in an interview with another socialist friend of mine who I organized with at my school. But once again, the issue of immigration has really risen up big this last few weeks. And I thought there's just a lot of things that's happened around it, a lot of things that impact impact the politics of, you know, of the country right now and of the world, because immigration is a big issue in Europe as well right now. There are changes to laws going on with the European Union and Libya, where they're making restrictions on immigrants coming in. Some of the similar restrictions that are being talked about, and detention centers again are being talked about being built, so-called concentration camps.
And a detention center that was bombed.
In the United States. So, and then, like you said,
and in Libya.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked about immigration before, but I just felt like we have to continue to come back to this because there are a lot of important stuff coming up. So I thought it'd be worth discussing.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking about this and you suggesting this topic, mm-hmm. Andy. It's something that I'm more of an, not because I'm Mexican, but maybe, but because it is something that I obviously hear a lot about because I listen to Mexican news and hear a lot of things that are happening at the border. And it's something that I'm really directly always listening to, mm-hmm. and I'm aware of. But I think it's also just a U.S.-American issue. I don't know why I just said that, but this is a Mexican issue. It's a border issue with almost every country, really. So it's not really a Mexican issue.
Yeah.
It's really a border issue everywhere across the world.
It's a capitalism issue because capitalism is built of nations, and nations have borders, and they use the control of the borders to control workers.
Yeah.
And that's how I, as a socialist, see it. And I don't think we're going to be we've both gone on record. We're both for open borders. We're both against any sort of restrictions on immigrants anywhere. I think that's okay. Yeah. So that's not what we're talking about today. We're going to just be talking about these issues that have been coming up.
Yeah.
Some
things that have recently been in the media where go ahead first. I don't want to. Yeah. I interrupted you first before. I have something to say.
So I'm not entirely sure where to start, except to say that there has been some talk about the discussion of these camps that have been historically called detention centers, that I oppose and other people oppose, being called concentration camps. Mm-hmm. And I do think that word is appropriate. A concentration camp is basically a place where you concentrate people who you don't want to be part of, you know, like who you are essentially trying to isolate and you don't want as part of your society, and you're trying to put them in some kind of pen. In the case of Nazi Germany, they ended in death camps, but they don't necessarily have to end there. There's been a lot of, there have been some debate over whether that's an appropriate term. I think it's an entirely appropriate term for those things. My only problem with the way it's being used is that it's not just a concentration camp now. It was a concentration camp under Obama. It was a concentration camp under Bush. These were concentration camps, and detention centers existed under the Clintons. So I would just say that I do believe that the way this term is being used is again part of the elections. These are concentration camps. They do. They are something that should be dissolved and taken down and gotten rid of completely. The way it's being talked about, and I would again say among liberals, among people who support the Democratic Party, is as if Trump started concentration camps, and that's not true. The same deplorable positions, conditions that exist right now existed under Obama. In fact, I'll read a quote here from a 2015 legal challenge to Obama's camps when he had them. There was basically a lawsuit filed against Obama or against these camps by the ACLU. A lawsuit filed in 2015 challenging the situation of these hiladas called ice boxes, alleging appalling conditions, including people held in freezing, overcrowded, and filthy cells for extended periods of time, no access to beds, soap, showers, adequate meals and water, medical care, and lawyers, no access to lawyers, in violation of constitutional standards and Border Patrol's own policies. So this was a lawsuit levied against Obama in 2015 in the concentration camps that existed then. So I think the term concentration camp, I think, is being used quite cynically to basically make this an election issue. That is, to basically paint the Republican side as fascists while the Democrats are being painted as people who might oppose these policies, when in fact Obama was responsible for spreading these. He actually built he actually spread these concentration camps across the U.S., across the United States. There was at least four camps built, additional camps to people who were calling for asylum were put in these camps. One of them
privately owned.
Yeah, and one of them was shut down because of the bad conditions. So I just think this is, I'm going to talk about this over and over again during this episode, how this issue of immigration is again really being cynically used by both sides, one to rally a base for the Republicans, and I think there's a political fight being waged within the Democratic Party and an attempt to paint the Republicans as fascists, hoping that the Democrats can win the presidency by defeating, quote, the fascists, because the Democrats have nothing really to run on other than being against this so-called fascist. And so I just think people should not believe, I don't think people should take seriously, not obviously the Republicans or the Democrats, in wanting to stop this policy and fight for real justice for immigrants. And I'll say more about that later.
Correction on what you had said, hieleras.
Yeah, okay.
Hieleras, that's all.
Okay.
The Spanish, which means the freezing. Oh, it was sort of in reference to the freezing cement cell, overcrowded cell enclosures that people were in, hieleras. I want to stress for everyone of our audience why it was very controversial for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to say concentration camps, and other people as well to say that, but I know that she was hit hard over social media for it. And concentration camps have a long history prior to World War II. Before, I mean, Cubans by the Spanish in Cuba, women and children in the Philippines by the U.S. and during the colonization.
Native Americans prior to the Trail of Tears, the Japanese
internment camps, and
Germans, German Americans were interned during World War I and World War II, as well as Italian Americans,
and currently as well is the Uyghurs, which are the Muslim minority in China,
Guantanamo Bay,
and but before we get to Guantanamo Bay, because I do believe it is a concentration camp, but before I get there, I think later on we're going to lead into the direction of how I think it's even controversial to say that a place like Guantanamo Bay is a concentration camp. Before I get there, though, I want to talk about the history of this before World War II. I think everyone attributes concentration camps to World War II, and specifically the Holocaust, which was a concentration camp and was also an extermination camp, and they did target the Jewish, not only the Jewish, handicapped folk and
communists
and Jehovah's Witnesses and people who were on the diverse spectrum of the gender and sexual diversity community. So yes, I think the association is largely attributed to that time. But I want that the reason why I'm pointing it out, the history, is because before World War II, there were concentration camps. There are currently concentration camps, and I think that when people say that calling these detention centers concentration camps, it lessens or it makes the concentration camps of the Holocaust less of a, what would you say, less of a.
Oh, it seems like it diminishes the atrocity. People are claims that it diminishes the severity and the atrocity that was done against the Jews and against others, like you said, disabled, gypsies, and
minorities that were
minorities, and that were
Hitler went
executed
out
under
after.
fascism in Germany in World War II. Yes.
So, and that is something that we should definitely look at in history. And we should look at all these other parts of history as well, that there have been massive genocide, not only in this country, outside of this country, and massive a collection of how would you say, like almost shepherding of, like to gather people in one place, to specifically political prisoners for persecution of minorities, and to target them under terrorism, such as this country has been doing, to target these people on the border considered to be terrorists. And that's the rhetoric that we are hearing. And these privately funded detention centers, which are concentration camps, are the ones that are taking care of these children that are not qualified. They're doing these horrendous things that we've already found out through the media, that people have gone to visit these detention centers, and they confirm exactly how a concentration camp should be defined, which is it's a lack of resources for a clean water, lack of healthy food, lack of nurturing for these children that are separated from their families. There even have been, and I was just listening to this horrendous story, where parents who have just given birth have were t their babies were taken away from these in labor parents, and that was very horrifying to hear, that even babies were being, I mean, it's not just children that were crossing across the border with these families. It's here as well, they're taken away from their mothers. And I think what I want to just paint this picture first before we continue is just to try to really get honed in onto this, that the history of this is bigger than it has a it's a legacy. And I think people are really interested in more of the semantics and trying to figure out who is more oppressed than the other. And I'm more interested in just making sure that we see that we all these human beings everywhere are being targeted. And as I was saying earlier, it's a border issue that is happening across the globe. And yes, as you had said, because of capitalism, there's all this running about, trying to flee places to try to get better work, trying to get better ways of living their lives. And we've already touched many of this
Yeah, Libya
conversation.
was destroyed by the United States, and the Middle East has been destroyed by the West, and the United States has played a big hand in that, and it's created a massive refugee crisis. The same is true of South America, both militarily. The coup in Honduras in 2009, supported by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, all these things destabilize these countries, creating the NAFTA Free Trade Area of Americas. North American Free Trade, North American Free Trade Agreement, done by Bill Clinton, eradicates the economy of the
The coup in Honduras.
of Mexico, and when they expanded it into CAFTA, into Central America, and then FTAA into South America, all attempts to basically create better conditions for U.S. businesses in those regions and uproot native businesses and uproot people who make a living there. And then they have to leave their families to try to make a living here or somewhere else. And of course, the U.S. and its participation in the drug war to try to militarize their positions in those countries. The U.S. is actually aiding different sides of the drug war in Colombia, in Mexico. It's not against the drug war. It's basically feeding the drug war in order to give it the excuse for going in and putting military aid on behalf of governments that they support in that region. So it's part of the way that the U.S. is trying to regain a footing and foothold and a control in South America, part of the Monroe Doctrine, as they worry about Russia and Europe and China getting a foothold in those regions. So the U.S. is destroying South America, destroying Central America, and then they want to basically, they don't want to keep people out. What they want to do is control the border to allow enough labor in that they can use it as cheap labor to drive living conditions down for everyone here, because they want those workers to be very insecure so they can actually exploit them more easily. And then they want to be able to be free to push them in and out depending on the status of the economy. That's it. So it's about controlling work, controlling labor. And so that's why for me, it's not, I don't care. I do care about the conditions of the detention centers, but the detention centers shouldn't exist. They're political, they're pens for other fellow workers who are committing the crime of trying to find work. That's the crime that they're committing. And that's why I do consider them in some ways political prisoners, political opponents, or they're political allies of mine as fellow workers, and they're being used as pawns by the capitalists to try to pit them against us. And we can't fall for it. So this idea, the Democrats and Republicans agree that these pens should exist. They do. They might have differences over what they say, what they say about these conditions. This is an issue that the Democrats are trying to use to pin on Trump. But again, the Democrats didn't say anything about Obama when he was doing exactly the same thing. And in fact, they supported it. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the reason the concentration camp term is being used is very cynical. I believe it's cynical on the part of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I do know it creates discomfort in the center of the party because they know that they're going to be keeping these camps. And they know they're going to be supporting these camps. If Biden is president, if Kamala Harris is president, she's going to be running the concentration camps. And they're not going to know what to do. They're going to have to figure out what to do at that point. I just think that I don't trust anybody who's talking about this at the top of society, from Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar all the way to Donald Trump. I think they're all cynical.
Well, yeah, and I want to comment on that. I do want to say something about that. Before I respond to what you said, I don't want to forget as well as the concentration camps that existed by the British in South Africa. I can't remember every single part of history that concentration camps have been part of human history on this globe, but that was recent in some. Many years ago under the British colonization, but I just thought about this other one that I had just read before coming here. I think that the humanitarian crisis that exists at the border, as you said, is because of capital. Here is where I do agree with you. And I do agree with you that it's because of the capitalistic pressures, of economic pressures, to try to make people flee from one place to another is something that's considered wrong if you're not the right kind of person. Migration happens constantly in this country. How many people here in the Bay Area move from other states, from smaller towns, mm-hmm. and they come here to San Francisco? Mm-hmm. Look at what on the Silicon Valley. Most people are not actually from natively here from San Francisco, right. And they're not seen as people that are trying to steal jobs or anything. Yeah. These people are seen as just transplants, mm-hmm. right? Or it's hip, I come from a different town, or I've mm-hmm. been coming from living from different cities here.
Or as I moved from San Francisco to Oakland.
Right.
And me and my partner are renting somewhere now. Like, am I pushing somebody else out? In a sense, yes. But this is normal. For workers need to be able to move so they can find work and they find a place to live. And anybody who believes in the possibility of an international working class working together has to support that possibility for all workers.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I had come to the conclusion of open borders a long time ago, when I had thought about how people just move across borders. And it's been part of our history as people migrate from before, how to find food and forage and stuff. I mean, you just have to move. It's part of work. It's part of our society.
And one thing,
our social.
I want you to finish this, but one thing, my sister sent me a podcast. I can't remember which one it was. Who basically talked about what was happening at the southern border in the United States prior to them really militarizing it. And basically what he described was he said people would migrate back and forth across it depending on seasonal needs. And people actually wanted to live home. So it wasn't like people came and then they stayed. They had to actually start to stay when they militarized the border and made it so you had to make a choice. Because if you tried to go back, you weren't necessarily going to be able to make it back to the United States. So it was the actual hardening of the border that has created a situation where people who've wanted to kind of come and go more transiently have had to basically force, am I going to stay in my home country or am I going to come to the United States and try to make it there? I'm not able to do both. And that situation that doesn't allow that has created a situation where people who need to kind of stay here sometimes, even if they don't want to, or even if there's kind of a risk to do so, because there's also a risk going back. So we have created this problem for workers by allowing the border to be militarized. Now, the capitalist loves doing that because they live on the idea of the nation state and the idea of controlling the workers within their nation and then using the control of workers in and out of their nation as a way of controlling labor. But that is nothing. We have no interest as workers in that sort of association.
The other piece I get really annoyed at, I did not mention in our previous immigration video, which we will link here, is that, yes, about this migration thing, it's just everyone does it. You just consider it illegal if somehow you're not the right kind of person coming through on this border, right? But here's where I get so annoyed. The largest percentage of I consider immigrants. I say the word immigrant just to play words for people. I don't really consider anyone to be an immigrant. But the largest quote, air quotes here I'm putting, immigrants to my country in Mexico are U.S. Americans that retire and live their life and buy land in Guadalajara, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico City, and San Miguel de Allende. You go to San Miguel de Allende and everyone speaks English in my country, in Mexico, and they are not considered immigrants. What are they called when they go there and they live there and they work there? They're considered expats.
Expatriates. Okay.
Expatriates, yes. So there is this thing where I feel that you have this different, there is this, words in this situation, right, matter in the sense that there's a different outlook on how people see certain people traveling from one place to another because they cannot live and afford to buy land here in the USA because it's really expensive. They go and buy somewhere where they can and it's affordable. And there are lots of US Americans in Mexico, in my country. And I always get annoyed when people try to say that they're expats. And, you know, you have these young people going there in hippie towns and everything and they're considered expats and they're not considered immigrants. But you have people who are trying to do the same thing and, oh, no. They're immigrants.
Right.
So it's just, I think just to emphasize the point is that I think really we're playing this word game on finding out who really is accepted in our society and not to work or not work or to live or not to work when really it's everyone has the right to live wherever they want or work wherever they want.
Right. And this is where racism features into it because the issues of immigration from Canada, from Europe, from say Britain or from Germany or from France is not made a big issue about. The issues are made generally about the influx of people who are, you know, darker complexion, brown people from South America or Central America, or dark skin colored people from Libya or Syria or Iraq or this is where this is not just politicized, where the issue of racism comes in, because there is an attempt to imply that those people are more dangerous, should not be welcomed here. Mm-hmm. And if we fall for that as workers, we are falling for racism, we're falling for nationalism, and we're once again closing the door to the solidarity that needs to be built between us. So not just controlling labor, but again, racism is an aspect of capitalism. And this is why I definitely think of Guantanamo Bay as a concentration camp because
it's a
political center.
Yeah.
I think of our prison industry as a concentration camp.
You jumped, but yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because concentration camps are a feature of capitalism because capitalism will need to put workers in pens and will do so on the basis of race, of gender, of sexual orientation. It will do that. It has to because it uses those divides to divide workers.
Since you segue into that, and actually we were talking, the reason why I hadn't mentioned it as a concentration camp earlier is because I think when we start saying, and that's how I wanted to have your perspective now that you brought it up, although I had another point I wanted to say, but because you brought this up, I think then that is where people will find this very the controversy in this, because they will see that you have this. I'm still playing with this yet, and I'm still wondering about calling a prison a concentration camp. I think I'm on there. I'm just trying to figure some things out for myself, but you seem to have it clear for yourself that it is a concentration camp, no? I do consider Guantanamo Bay to be a concentration camp. Prison system in general in this country, I think, when we've already made a video on this, where please check it out, we also have it linked, where we both, I think, we stand on that we should abolish prisons. Yes, I stand with that. Where I think I differentiate simply just here in the semantics a little bit is that I'm not in agreement for prisons to exist, and I've already stated what I would like to see an alternative for. But what I'm wondering is, just maybe you can, and I've been clear here that I'm going to be sort of learning along the way with everyone here, where is the concentration camp definition that we had just outlined, and what I have just studied is, I'm not sure if people that are imprisoned, such as, for example, murderers and people who are rapists and people who are necessarily in a concentration camp. I'm not sure. I feel quite sure about that. I was thinking along about this along as I was coming here and on the bus ride, and I was thinking to myself, I do think people that are in prison for petty crimes are people who are in survival mode and are targeted, and because the laws do not favor them but favor white collar crimes. Yes, I do think that there are people who are sort of in this pipeline to get people imprisoned and not dealing with other factors such as the stress factors of trying to survive. But I was just, I was not yet in that agreement of whether, and I do think, even if this might sound really horrible to some people, I do think that rapists and murderers have to do something else other than being stuck in a prison cell. There's something else, an alternative out there for that. And we've already discussed, I'm not going to go into prisons for our audience, so please check it out. But as far as
We
calling
didn't
it,
get so much into the alternatives, but
yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah.
but you're right, yeah, because we discussed a strike more than
Yeah.
anything. But here's what I'm trying to say, is just, I'm not sure if it can be considered a concentration camp, Andy.
Okay. Well, first off, remember
Good.
that yeah, that the prison the concentration camps, we'll use again, we'll use, and it's not the only one, but the one that is used as the example, the shining example of, like, okay, this is why this word is so loaded, is the are the ones Germany used for the for Jews and for communists and for disabled and elderly. They were work camps. First, remember that. They were camps because people, because Jews were considered criminals, stealing, thieving. They were described as rats and as bringing sickness into neighborhoods, as just dirty. And they were described as a criminal element, actually. And initially, the Jews were not just exterminated, they were used as cheap labor. Cheap labor for the war effort, ultimately. Initially, as you, as, and that's exactly what, that is exactly the language that's used among poor workers who are being shoved into prisons. It's a labor camp, basically. It's a cheap labor camp with horrible, sickening conditions, not unlike what are described in these concentration camps at the border, and it's being done to poor workers, not poor workers generally. 80% of the people are not ones who have committed, even accused of a violent crime, right? 80% of them are for, like you said, drug offenses. And so it's these camps are an excuse to put poor workers, generally poor workers of color, brown or black, into giant prison cells, largely for cheap labor and as an excess part, as an excess pool of labor to draw from in case things get difficult for the capitalists. And that's how they use them. Again, they're used in the same way that desperate immigrants are used. So the desperation of the people in the prisons inside this country, you can map onto the desperation of immigrants. Workers in this country do not benefit from that desperation. That desperation will be used as a way of pitting our working conditions against one another, whether it be cheap labor of an immigrant that's going to come in and accept any sort of low pay because they don't have any rights, or whether it's the cheap labor of a person who's been thrown in jail for selling drugs and is getting 15 cents on the dollar from a capitalist. All that is going to be used against the entire working class. But let's talk about the last 20%, the murderers or the rapists.
Pedophiles.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry, but the biggest perpetrators, the biggest organizers of those mass murders, of mass rapings and things like that, are the people at the political class at the top. They're the ringleaders. It's like the RICO Act. It's actually, they're the people who organize this stuff through wars.
But let's take an example like Dr. Lasser, no? Who was a doctor for gymnasts who molested and really sexually assaulted girls.
But I'm saying he can't hold a candle to George Bush.
And progressives have stated that they are largely in agreement about most of who I have been discussing with. I was bringing this up. They wouldn't necessarily say that this is the petty crimes that most black and brown folk are in for.
Right.
Should be in there, but they do. Those who agree with prison system do think that people such as this 20% that you were referring to.
Yeah.
If this is a 20%, where I think you're guessing around this, no?
No.
Oh, you're really sure it's 20%?
It's close to that number, right? About violent criminals are representing about 20% of them.
These horrendous...
So-called. And again, how many of them are actually guilty of the crime? I think it's up to debate, given the problems of the criminal justice system.
Well, this smaller percentage, I think, what we can say, right? People who are accused of these violent crimes, are they... The progressives would argue that this is where prison systems would be suitable for them. I have a different alternative. I'm not going to discuss it right now. But what I'm trying to get at is, this is why I wouldn't, if they were solely in there for those people who are just accused of certain crimes, in there for those crimes. And I don't know if I would go so far as to say they were concentration camps.
They are, because that's, I mean...
A concentration camp for Dr. Lasser, you're saying.
No, but they're not designed for him. These camps are not designed for Dr. Lasser. They're designed for poor workers. He's like a side product of this.
I see what you're saying.
And so they don't exist for the one or two or even 20 or 30 or even 100 or 300 high-profile middle-class members who get caught in the trap.
That's not why
these things are designed. They're designed for poor workers. And the reason I call bullshit on the ones who are, what about Dr. So-and-so?
Lasser. Epstein.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Obama has to be top on the list. Hillary Clinton has to be top on the list for being in the cell for mass rapes, mass murder, mass theft. Okay? Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. If you want to get the big criminals, then you have to go after Elon Musk. You have to go after Larry Ellison. You have to go after Zuckerman. Jeffrey Bezos. All those people have to go to prison. Mass theft on a scale completely out of proportion to anything you can find among petty crimes, even people who rob banks, and in terms of people who are responsible for, harming other people through the loss of health care, through wars, and the crimes that come through those wars. Who's responsible for that? I don't hold the people in our military directly responsible. I do like what they do in the RICO Act. You go for the kingpin. You go for the person who sent those people in. They're the ones responsible for the crimes of the petty gangsters. All right? So that's how this works. Now, why don't they go to jail? Because the system is not designed to deal with actually stopping crimes. They're stopping people from they're stopping people from trying to fight for what they deserve, which is people who are immensely poor, trying to get by any way they can, committing crimes against each other, committing petty crimes against a middle class small business owner, and yes, maybe sometimes going after the big dog capitalist. Not often, actually. Mm-hmm. They're in jail for being poor. Mm-hmm. That's really what's happening.
Right.
And the people who commit crimes under conditions where they are immensely wealthy and yet go after more and more money, those people will never see a jail cell. Yet those are the people who are actually the biggest criminals. They're not going after people's stuff because of desperation. They're not killing out of desperation. They're killing out of naked calculation of, I want more. I'm not poor. I'm filthy rich. I want your stuff, and I'm going to kill you to get it. That's what's going. That's what's capitalists. What's in the minds of capitalists? You know, they're not doing it out of like, oh my God, I know this was my last resort. So, no, jails were not designed. Our jail system, 2.3 million people, was designed to throw workers who the system had no place for, to throw them into a pen so they could be used for some way, shape, or form by the capitalist. Currently, it's cheap labor. As conditions get more desperate in this country, we're going to see other things as well. And that's what happened in Germany. So fascism is not just, fascism is an aspect of capitalism. It's capitalism when it gets more and more desperate. We're going to see those things again.
Right. So just so I understand, because I'm in agreement if this is what you are saying. I just think I cleared something up for myself here. And that is that the prison system, this complex prison machine, was designed originally to corral, especially in this country, people of color. I remember this was certainly true for places like in Florida and other places, true because of the history of Florida for African Americans. So because after the slaves were freed, you had to create a system in order to put them in, because this is what at the time was allowed under a law or something. So people would pursue. So I do know the history of this, and I just remembered that state in particular. So the point is that these systems that are designed specifically to target people, to corral and target people, are the same places where, well, the rapist and over here, that small minority of people that commit these other violent crimes are just thrown in there as well. So in this case, because of the history of the prison system, yes, I would consider it to be as well a concentration camp. Just had to get that out there as well. And I think our listeners would appreciate having also have this as well, as my process is trying to clarify these things for myself as well, sort of sorted out. Because I think that could be the confusion right there, where people do know of these very, what do you call it, famously known Dr. Lasser, Harvey Weinstein cases.
Yes, correct.
And and then people think, well, how could that be considered a concentration camp for these people?
Right.
So I think that this is where the confusion is settled.
Yes. And the reason I'm fine, even though I don't think AOC and the squad reason, is I'm fine with it because, one, I think it's accurate, and two, I do think it speaks to the fact that all these things need to be taken down. They can't be reformed. Concentration. You don't reform concentration camps. You dismantle them, and that gets us to this person, Willem van Spronsen, who was a radical. He considered himself a member of Antifa. He was I don't know what group he was. You might know what he was in, but he essentially went in and attacked a detention center. What I understand was intention was because the place was prepared to do some deportations. Obama had threatened a whole, Trump had threatened a whole new round of deportations, which didn't quite happen. And that's something that's interesting to me. Something else happened instead of the deportations. He's threatened mass deportations. And Willem, I think, was attempting to blow up the buses that were going to be used to deport them. He blew up one vehicle, went in there with a made-up rifle that he had that was turned into a kind of
incendiary paraphernalia.
Yeah, and was trying to blow things up, and he was shot by the police, kind of like 4 a.m. or something like that.
2 Saturdays ago.
Wasn't that far ago?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I read about it the 13th.
So I mean that again. The process by how these things will be dismantled, I do think it's. I do agree. Willem in his manifesto wrote, you know, workers or people need to be armed. I agree with that. I don't think that's the thing that's happening right now. I don't think this is the way it's going to actually work, by just people going after and like individually going into a place and trying to blow it up. I actually think it's going to require organizing us as workers, shutting down centers of production to defend fellow workers across the border and things like that. I do agree with him that we'll need to ultimately be armed. And I do believe that there will be a battle. But I don't think the time is now. And I think my suspicion is he was frustrated. He was also really, you know, kind of like, and you know, this language about concentration camps, about fascism.
It really affected him.
It affected him. And yeah. I think he was looking to go out and go out in a way that conformed to his beliefs. So I think that's what happened.
I just want to humanize him just a bit. I don't know him in case the police is watching this. I just read information on him. He's from Holland, and he is an immigrant post-war, World War II, and he came here in his adolescence here to the USA, and he is a guitarist and plays music. Specifically, he likes to play at the Strawberry Festival, from where he is from. And I was reading that he really was affected by what happened in Charlottesville, and the protester was killed, Heather Heyer, who I shouldn't mention. And prior to this, before having gotten shot, he was at a different protest, and he was charged for obstruction of police officer because he tackled a police officer, wrapped himself around trying to intervene the police officer from brutally beating up on a 17-year-old protester. So he obstructed the police officer as he was charged. And he then he wrote this manifesto, and yes, he wrote about how he believes.
We'll post a link to the manifesto.
Yeah. The point being is this person was very anti-police, mm-hmm. And anti the government trying to target people who are coming here for the sole purpose of trying to just for work. And to live their lives
out. And he's an anti-capitalist.
Yes. And so
he's
an anarchist, armed person. Yeah. And he loved music. He loved politics. He had two children. He had an affinity for politics in the sense that he felt he was he had some responsibility to contribute. And I just wanted to say this about him. I know that people will link something. I have two articles that I was reading. And I really do think that he should be humanized some bit. I do think that... The issue on violence, I think we've tackled on the gun issue, so we can post the link on that, and I'm not going to discuss it right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you don't have anything, I have two things I wanted to say. But did you want to say something else? You mentioned him, and he is from Tacoma, by the way.
Well,
this happened in Tacoma, Washington.
I would just say that I agree. If you read his manifesto, I agree with his critique of capitalism. I agree with the fact that we shouldn't put up with this. I don't agree with his tactic, but of course, the police are going to gun him down, and then he's going to be ignored by the right. The right wing has actually talked about him as like, oh, Antifa, look how violent they are, stuff like that. The left has largely ignored him because they just want to dissociate themselves from him. I think he speaks to a kind of a desperation that exists on the far left because we are marginalized. I think our work is at our workplace trying to organize fellow workers. And I think he had just had enough, you know? And I think he knew he was going to, you know, be shot and likely killed.
Right.
And
yeah,
I think
so as well.
I think he
wanted to die for a cause.
The use, if you're going to use violence, you want to use it to actually change the world and make that thing happen. I think he was, in this case, just doing it out of more of an act of desperation and out of frustration. And I get it. I understand it, but it's not where things are at. But I do think he's also a victim of the way this has been politicized because they're talking about Trump as fascist and the Democrats are not. In reality, if Trump's a fascist, then I'm sorry, the Democrats are fascists as well. And one of the things that I think really exposes the cynicism on both sides of this has been, and I don't think this has gotten much news, but because the raids never went through. They never really did many of the raids. Mm. But there was a change that took place as a result of all this last hubbub over immigration. Do you know what that change was that's actually made? And it's a substantial change, and both parties have largely ignored it. Do you know that the asylum laws have been changed?
Recently, yes.
Yes.
Another country.
So basically, Trump... Trump, while he was tweeting about how how racist or these racist treats against the squad, and drawing them into a political fight over that. And the Democrats bit at it, okay? Trump, at the very same time, basically passed a law or a presidential order, I'm not entirely sure what it is, which basically eliminates asylum for many people coming from Central America. Basically means this, is if you're calling for asylum, if you come to the U.S. border and you're coming from Ecuador or Guatemala or some Central American country, they're going to ask you a question. Did you seek asylum in Mexico? Did you seek asylum in Guatemala? And if the answer is no, we're sending you back. That's what it is, okay? And so this is a major change that just took place. So the deportations didn't take place. This change took place. Now, why have we not heard about that from the Democrats who were supposedly fighting this? We haven't heard about it from Ocasio-Cortez. We haven't heard about it from Kamala Harris. We haven't heard about it from Joe Biden. We didn't hear about it from Nancy Pelosi, Ilhan Omar. Here's the reason, is the Democrats actually have already passed something that's very, or are sponsoring a bill that is very similar to it. Here's what the bill is called.
I heard it on Democracy Now!
Did you hear about what the Democrats are supporting? Listen to this.
Yes, I heard it on Democracy Now!
What's the bill the Democrats are doing?
Why don't you read this first?
Okay. Sandy? Because the Democrats, the reason they don't oppose this is because they agree with this policy. Because what the Democrats have been doing, while Trump is basically saying, no, we're going to put this problem on Mexico, the Democrats have basically been trying to sponsor a bill called this. It's called the Northern Triangle and Border Stabilization Act. And basically what it would do is create concentration camps. It would fund and work with other countries like Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, even Mexico, to build their own concentration camps so they can put people in those pens. So let's have them do our dirty work for us, which is essentially to what Trump is doing by saying, no, you have to go to there first. So the Democrats and the Republicans are united in basically not supporting asylum in this country, because what they're trying to do is build concentration camps elsewhere. And this, so I think there's other political reasons for why this whole racist fight's going on. I think Trump has his reasons. I think the squad versus the center of Democrats have reasons for the positions they're taking. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The whole reason this, everyone was talking about this, from Trump to Nancy Pelosi to Ocasio-Cortez, is about the elections. It's about the primaries. This was the same, like, if you'll notice, we weren't talking about immigration. And it's like just last year in June, we were talking about open borders and da-da-da-da-da. And that was all in preparation for the elections. This is a political fight over jockeying over the primaries. And I can talk about how I think this is breaking down. But the changes have already happened. And they're supported by both parties. Trump's going to eliminate asylum one way. And the Democrats are trying to create concentration camps in third world countries so they can run them instead.
But this was not done by the Democrats.
No, they're trying to. That's the bill.
This was. But who proposed this bill? I remember reading.
It's a Democrat. It's a Democratic bill. It's the Democrats are sponsoring it. Just like the Democrats sponsored $4.6 billion for the border thing. Trump is doing it a different way. The Democrats have another way of undermining asylum, which is called the Northern Triangle Border Stabilization Act. That's a Democratic bill. Did the Democracy Now tell you that?
Hold on. I know about the changes in the asylum.
I'm just telling you.
The bill to have this is not. My understanding was the change in how asylum seekers will try to seek asylum is pushed by the Trump administration.
Yes, but right? you're misunderstanding. Yeah. That's been done by Trump. I'm telling you that the reason the Democrats aren't making a thing over that is because they agree with the policy. They've been trying to do a similar thing with this thing called the Northern Triangle and Border Stabilization Act. That's not Trump's deal. This is the Democrats' deal.
All right.
But it's the same policy, eliminating asylum and creating concentration camps in third world countries.
Right. And then the other thing I was going to say
so
was...
So my question to you is, didn't Democracy Now! Tell you about that? Did they tell you that the Democrats, one, didn't even oppose... didn't make a big deal about the fact that asylum has been lost. And one of the reasons is because they're actually coming up with their own plan for eliminating asylum, and it was this.
And the other thing I was going to say was that there was another House bill that was negotiated between senators and the House of Representatives that the squad, Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib did not vote for. And they're the ones that were in struggle with Nancy Pelosi. Right. And so I just want to point that out as well, that the squad is not always jumping onto this House bill, even though largely was supported by Democrats and
right.
Republicans
they
to give funding to the border.
The squad rightly opposed both bills, both the Democrat version of the bill and the Republican version of the bill. But the reason I know the squad.
But you're saying the squad is in this fight
yes,
as well
because
to try to get an immigration issue.
No, they're not. The reason they're in this fight is they're trying to build a. This is part of a primary. Remember, this is a fight in the primaries for the Democratic Party. They're representing the left wing of the Democratic Party, and they are trying to essentially build strength on the left wing, make the primary fight a left wing, trying to essentially become the character of the Democratic Party in this political season. They're trying to push the Democrats left within this. And it's a political fight to see what the direction of the presidency is going to be. And some of the people who are going to be primaried and who are going to run in the upcoming election in 2020. So they know this is a political fight. That's why the squad, while Trump was tweeting about how they should be kicked out of the country and like that, didn't do anything to inform you about Trump's actually doing this thing. And they didn't inform you that Democrats were trying to do the same thing, that Trump was eliminating asylum and that the Democrats had every intention of eliminating asylum as well through another backdoor way. Mm-hmm. Because this is a political fight that's around positioning on the elections. And Trump's trying to do his thing for different reasons. He's trying to make the entire Democratic Party synonymous with this left wing, which is actually what the squad is attempting to try to do. And
the squad is attempting to abolish ICE.
No, they're not trying to.
Yes, they did come out and say that.
They're saying it now, but before they voted against that. No, they're not. Look, you have to understand.
They just came out and said that specifically.
But then when they talked about abolishing ICE before, and then they walked away from it again. The reason they're abolishing ICE is the primaries are coming. That's the reason they're talking about it again. Because after the primaries went, then the squad kind of gave it up again. They did. I'm sorry, they're not trying to do anything other than...
I don't think we can say that they just gave it up, like, just
they did.
Because someone did not talk about it, they gave up on
that's,
it.
That's what it means to do it. That's what it means. It means you give up on it.
If they keep pushing for it and they keep talking about it, then they are for it. They just mentioned it recently. I heard them
yes,
talk about it.
Yes, it's coming up again, mm-hmm. just like it came up about a year ago. It comes up as part of electioneering. That's why it's coming up. It's completely cynical. They know that they're not, because they're not for open borders.
No, they're not.
They're
no,
not.
They're not.
So they don't want to shut those things down. They want those camps to exist. They just think they should be more humane. They want humane concentration camps.
I will agree with that.
So
yes. that,
but so there you go. That's what the squad wants. That's a Democratic Party position. So I'm sorry.
All I'm just trying to make sure is clear that we don't mischaracterize things, because. They have come out, and I think we have to give credit where credit is due and where it's not due as well. And I know their positions are not to have open borders. I know this for sure. But they did come out and say that they want to abolish
that position that they raise is completely. It's not dependent on what's happening with immigrants. It's dependent on the election cycle. So the positions that they take for when they talk about abolishing ICE or doing these things are all related not to the conditions that immigrants are actually facing, not related to the things that they're trying to get rid of. They're related to where things are in the election. Because once it's Biden or Kamala Harris for president, you're not going to hear about abolish ICE anymore.
I agree with that.
So I'm just telling you. And you're not going to hear from them. You're going to hear we have to defeat Trump. So they have no principled position on this. They're not attempting to fight for immigrants. They're attempting to displace Trump with one person who they call a fascist with their fascist party, frankly. And they're in a fascist.
Well, they are dissenting against the Democrats.
But they're
these
in the,
four.
But they're part of the Democratic
largely.
Party. If they're in the Democratic Party,
they are in the Democratic
so they're,
Party.
So they're propping up the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party. If you're going to call the Republicans fascist, then I'm sorry, the Democrats are fascist too. So they're in a fascist party as well. It's Nazi one and Nazi two. You got to pick. I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. All of them are supporting concentration camps, so they're all Nazis. So which Nazi party do you want to be in? They've decided to be in the other Nazi party. The only credit I will give the squad is if they would leave the Democratic Party. Then the Nazi Party too. And they won't, because they're opportunists and they're interested in their, I think they're interested in their own careers ultimately. And secondly, if they're not opportunists, they're ignorant to the fact that the Nazi Party, the Democratic Party, Nazi Party too, the Democratic Party, which a pro-capitalist party cannot be turned into this other thing. In fact, they're going to keep it from ever becoming another thing by staying within it and giving us the illusion it can be changed. So no, I don't give them any credit. I think they're completely cynical. They're as cynical and manipulative as Trump. Ocasio-Cortez and them are tweeting, and Trump is tweeting, and they're attempting to vie for the political heart of which capitalist party is going to be in power. That's it.
Oh, I will respond. I do agree with you that they are propping up the Democratic Party by being in the Democratic Party. I do think that they should. This is my personal view, and I need some time to sort it out. I have ultimately decided that I will not vote for another person in this system. I will vote locally for things that I have mentioned already in our voting episode. But I do not trust our Democratic leaders, nor do I trust our Republican leaders. And I'm even going to say I don't even trust a lot of libertarian and independent leaders in this current political system. And that makes me, just in general, I just want to position that. And especially when the squad is in the Democratic Party, which is largely has an agenda, and they clearly have seen that even some of the small deviant things that they will say are largely, crowded out, dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Alexander Ocasio-Cortez said the Green Deal, Nancy dismissed it saying the Green Dream or whatever. I do think that they are not going to bring solutions that they want. I don't know about them being cynical when you say stuff like this. I suspect that they are genuine about they're reformists, and they're trying to, this is my opinion, that they are trying to really be changing within the system that is just not able to work. I don't think they are cynical. I do think that there is genuine interest there. They do want to change things. It's just their efforts will most likely be in vain, because therefore you're going towards an establishment, and they are going not just an establishment that isn't aligned with Republicans. So it's not like you're defeating within your party. You're defeating a whole ASDM machine. So I do think that that's the difference where I think I see this with them. I like them. Because they sometimes touch my heart here and there, but I ultimately would not vote for them.
I would say if the squad acted as a squad outside the Democratic Party with strictly socialist aims, calling for essentially, calling out both parties evenly, or just, saying neither of these parties are parties you should be voting for, talking about the yellow vests are basically our future, talking about workers needing to be armed, talking about the military budget having to be brought down to zero, and that the soldiers should come back here and take down your government. If the squad was saying that as socialists, then I'm with them, okay? But they're not, okay? In fact, 2 weeks ago, a budget was passed that put $733 billion in the coffers of the military. Which party voted for that budget? Democratic Party. Do you know what party voted against it? The Republicans. But the Democrats pushed it through. The Democrats pushed through a pro-war $733 billion thing. Now, in it were riders to say, oh, we're going to get rid of the authorization of use of military force, which is going to go away in the Senate. And in it was also something else. There was another amendment that they know the Senate's gonna clean up. But the reason that the Democrats were able to pass it is it was their way of trying to, like, again, political electioneering here. The Democrats were trying to say we're pro military, but we're gonna try to minimize and also restrictions on Trump's ability to declare war on Iran. Okay, mm-hmm. So when this thing that the Democrats pushed through the House of Representatives goes to the Senate, those things are going to be removed, and then the House is going to come back, and then they're going to end up voting on it, all right? And they're going to agree to it, just like they did at the $4.6 billion border stuff, which basically builds more detention centers, builds walls, things like that. Concentration camps.
But they did not vote for it.
You're right. They dissented. But I'm just saying, the Democratic Party that they're a part of, that they're in, that they're trying to build, is a party that supports that. So they're propping up the party that's for supporting centers. So you can't have it both ways. This is the reason I think they're cynical, is they know that. They know how they're operating. But it doesn't really matter whether it is. I do agree with you that they're reformists, and therefore they're going to basically do everything they can to try to get the capitalism to work. But I'm sorry, reformists who are trying to do anything they can to make capitalism work are not our friends. They're not our allies, all right?
This is where we are in a disagreement with.
Well, there's a long history.
Because I consider myself an anti-capitalist, and I lean, as I have said from the very beginning of this episode, very libertarian, leaning towards anarchistic Noam Chomsky thoughts. And I'm not a socialist. I'm not prepared and ready to say that. Yet, if the socialist train were to be launched, and if it were to be in revolution, I would consider myself to be an ally. I would jump right in there, and I'm not a socialist.
Okay, but let me just add, let's talk about the Squad. Did the Squad inform us about what the Democrats did with the military budget? Did the Squad let us know about that?
Did the Squad inform us of what?
About the fact that their Democratic Party, I imagine they
no,
were...
No, they did not mention it.
They didn't mention that.
Right.
Because it's all about Trump in their case, and yet Trump is for $755 billion instead of $733 billion. So I'm saying the Squad is not helping us. The Squad is basically saying they're basically hiding the way that capitalists are pulling a trick, and they're helping the capitalists do that. So I'm sorry. That's what the Squad, if the Squad was legit, they would have to be calling out the Democratic Party over and over and over again, not letting any of these capitalists get away with this stuff. And yeah, they'd probably be putting their fire more on the Democrats than the Republicans, because everyone knows the Republicans are what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the Squad is doing. The Squad is trying to refurbish and rebuild the Democratic Party. And here's the last thing. Once the primaries are over, and we know that just like Trump is going to appeal to the right-wing base prior to the primaries, in the run-up to the primaries, and the Democrats are going to appeal to the left-wing base up to the primaries. But once those candidates are in place, what's going to happen to the Democratic Party? All those people are going to swing behind Kamala Harris or Joe Biden and tell us to vote for that person. And you will not see a dissenting vote from your Squad.
It's not my squad.
They're your squad. You love them.
Okay? I like them, yes.
Okay, you like them. They're your squad. Sorry, they're not my squad. I'm saying that's an enemy. That's an enemy squad used to try to fool you. And they're getting away with it, actually. They're doing it. It's worked.
Sorry, I'm trying to contain myself.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm being a jerk.
No, I'm just trying to contain. And for the last few people that have been commenting on whether you think Andy's attacking me, I am not attacked. I'm trying not to laugh. I'm trying to be contained here. It's just the way Andy talks. So, it will be what I'm supposed to be assaulted.
Yeah. Andy. Right.
No, it's just my squad.
All right.
My squad.
They're your squad, as far as I'm concerned.
Let me continue.
All right.
Compose. It's not my squad. I like them. They like superheroes. They need some superheroes. You know, I guess I'm entertained by them, and I like them. And they just, I don't know. Anyhow, let's focus. So I have said in the AOSC video that I invite people to see is that I do think that these people bring a fresh look out viewpoint to the way that they talk about things, but ultimately they are functioning within a system that is already broken and is not interested, as you can clearly see when they're trying to push back against Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the establishment. They're really against it, and they're not even socialists. They're capitalists. They're reformists, capitalists. Sort of like with one of our invitees is the Gemma. You know, she believes sort of that sort of way of thinking, and this is the reason why I would not vote for them, because I don't have faith anymore in people that are capitalists, and even if they are genuine, good-natured capitalists, friendly capitalists, as I would say.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that they're friendly capitalists.
Right. And so what you're going to see now as a result of this entire tweet hubbub is now both parties are going to move away from the immigration issue, because they've done their fighting over it to try to position themselves related to the Democratic Party and the Republican Party as they're fighting each other, and also as part of an internal fight within the Democratic Party. They're done with this round of seeing how they can position themselves in that issue. Not making change, positioning themselves in that issue for election purposes. Now we're going to move to things like impeachment, or we're going to move towards the budget, or maybe Iran. So this issue is going to come off the stage again because it's no longer interesting for the political class as a means of fighting out a political battle, not as it relates to helping immigrants or hurting immigrants, but it's about getting elected. Although, yes, it's very much about hurting immigrants, but it's hurting immigrants from both parties. Both parties are dedicated to hurting immigrants.
I will condemn this well, though, that the squad has been attacked by very racist rhetoric.
Yes.
I think we I personally will call it out.
Yes,
whether we agree with them and their politics or not, I think anyone should not be told anything because of where their origins are from to go back to wherever they're from. That's just in general. I think anyone should not be attacked, nor should there be any rhetoric trying to aim and target a specific person, as Trump was in a rally just recently. I think it was yesterday.
Ilhan Omar, he said, send her back.
I think that should be called out because it's truly just out blatantly racist.
What I would have wanted to see the squad do, though, is to say, you know what? We know this guy's a racist. We know he's trying to come after us. We're not going to let him distract from this, and we're going to draw like a laser fire these laws that they're that he just changed asylum. So I'm not going to make it about me. I'm going to make it about these asylum changes.
They did say it was a distraction.
But they didn't talk about this asylum thing.
I saw their press conference. But they wanted to go back to the issues, and they mentioned healthcare. They mentioned all these other things.
I want to specifically go to the asylum thing because, look, they just brought up this concentration camp. But I want to make a point about this. But the reason they didn't is because they know the Democratic Party already has their own plan around this to essentially do a similar thing through this other proposal. That's a Democratic bill, okay? So again, I'm going to call it out. So no, they don't get to just say, oh, healthcare, oh, war, oh, this. No, this is around the fight to defend immigrants. So we've got to shut down these places. We've got to shut down these concentration camps. I'm not going to let him distract from that. And I'm going to say that he's even gone a step further. He's actually making it impossible for people to have asylum here. Oh, there's a problem, though. The Democrats are proposing another bill that's going to do a similar thing. That's why they're not talking about it. So I'm calling bullshit on all of them.
Well, I think enough has been said about that squad. I wanted to just not distract. That's the wrong word. I wanted to highlight that everyone is wherever. It doesn't matter what privilege. Well, privilege. There we go with privilege. I can't even say that because if I say it, people immediately have this other identity politics issues they start bringing up. Mm. Yes, I agree with this privilege thing. Mm. I don't want to go into that mess. The issue is that the advantages that you have because you're born in a certain country and other people are coming from other countries, and that whole rhetoric of putting people aside or coming from shithole countries, which is what Trump had said, or wanting a specific people from certain countries like Norway, as he had said, to specifically come here. I think that is something that I want to just say is not to, and maybe the Democrats don't say it out like this, and I do think that there are racist policies that they are in support of, but clearly this person says it out there blatantly, and it works for his base. Mm-hmm. But that is also not to distract and neglect that the Democrats also say it, may not say it like that, but have the policies that really show actions speak louder than words.
Right. And prior to Trump trying to push everyone into associating the Democratic Party with the squad, who was going after the squad before Trump?
Nancy
Pelosi.
Yeah, the Democrats.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a political fight that Trump is weighing in on to try to force changes that the center of the Democratic Party doesn't want to swallow. And in this case, I actually think the squad tried to highlight, instead took advantage of the fact that Trump is kind of like, doing this racist attack on them to put themselves at the center and to put their causes into the center of the Democratic Party. I understand they think that that's going to basically mean a more left-wing character of the party, a more left-wing person in the primaries, more left-wing people in the elections. But again, that's what I think is animating them. It's about positioning themselves relative to the elections, not about the policies themselves, not about these issues that they're raising. All these issues, I feel, are being raised as part of a political battle around the elections.
All right. All right. Anything else? I'm thinking, I think that this is going to be an ongoing issue that we will have to discuss again. And it's different angles to look at this, because this is another angle that we took on this immigration issue, and we've already stated our position. Just, I think on a personal level, just listening to our two guests that I think we should also link to, which is Daryl and Tom, and
Bruce Neuberger.
Bruce Neuberger, who came from the border and shared their experience, really have firsthand accounts of what is going on down in the border. And it's very disheartening, everything that is going on. And I think that we need to look at this as a greater thing that is happening within the larger system of things, how and why these things happen. And I think when we have someone like Tacoma, I am in agreement with you. You cannot attack something that is individual, like the detention center. Ultimately, you have to go and turn the entire system. And this is where I do agree. And I've been, personally, I have been strengthening and affirming that for myself.
Yeah. We'll also link to the manifesto that he wrote, because I think it's worth reading. I actually agree with a lot of the things that, the conclusions that he's drawn about the system. But I think it was premature. When the time for armed conflict, we're not there, you know.
He's been considered a martyr.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. And I do think he was doing these things for the right reasons. But I think it's a long fight, and it's going to require a lot more organizing of our side before we're ready to take those steps. Although I think the kinds of steps he was prepared to take are the kinds of steps that the working class is going to need to be prepared to take, because they will face an organized opponent that is going to arm it, that is already armed, and in order to take down capitalist state, we're going to need to use force against force, and that's why I'm against gun control as he was.
But would you? I have a question. I think that was one thing I didn't get clear from you. I understand you wouldn't see a reformist as an ally, but would you see anarchists as an ally?
I mean a reformist politician, because most of the people I work with are reformists. I mean a reformist politician. I mean a person at the top.
I see.
Yeah, that's because I think they know a lot of politics. I think they know my politics. They know Marxist politics. They're aware of all that stuff. I believe they know more than they let on about what they're doing, and they know how they're positioning themselves. Ayanna Pressley.
Yeah.
For all her talk about the squad, she was basically supporting John Kerry back in the day when he was, you know, talking about supporting Israel, talking about attacking the Middle East, attacking Syria. So, sorry, you don't get to be both people, you know. So, where did that go? What happened?
So you would see a reformist, someone that is... from part of the
reformist
class.
Yeah, reformist workers. Yeah,
as
reformist.
An ally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Probably most of my allies are reformist workers, because they believe the system doesn't have to be. They don't either. They think the revolution, the system can't be changed, or they don't think it has to be changed. Mm. Something like that it makes sense to me. And there definitely can be allies.
Right.
We'll have to find that out together. Reformist politicians generally are. Well, I think they're our enemy, and honestly, they're the ones who are going to come down hardest on us. If you read about the German Revolution, the progenitors of the Freikorps, which were the beginnings of the Nazis, those were reformist socialists who were willing to like crack heads, kill revolutionaries, build camps, all that kind of stuff. So the reformists, when capitalism is under threat, the reformists will often act hardest to keep capitalism afloat, and that means killing all sorts of people.
Yeah.
Well, reformist politicians. Yeah. I mean that. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that was clear for me now, because the last time I think we had discussed this, I think that I said that I think that if we alienate reformists, that is not helping the cause, because ultimately you can win them if you convince them to move on to your movement. And I think that I may have misunderstood, because you're saying targeting specifically is the politicians who are in place and in power.
Right. And the mistake I feel like I've made in the past is downplaying my in order to work with other reformist workers, is downplaying my revolutionary politics, trying to kind of hide it a little bit. Mm. That I think is insulting to them, and I think it's the wrong tactic. I think I need to tell them, this is what I stand for. You probably don't agree with it, but can we be in a common fight together around this or that, even if we don't agree? Because I need to know, they are free to tell me their politics. I need to be free to tell them my politics. And we'll have to see which politics we're going to need to make the world the kind of place we need it to be. That's different than reformist politicians.
Then I can see a true movement then, I guess, because then if you're including them, we're potential revolutionaries and could fight a cause and support, then I think that there are more in numbers. I think that I was originally thinking of you as just like, there are very few, I think, socialists really that you're going to find that are in agreement with you, even if within there, because there's lots of disagreements, as we can see. But if we can try to organize and try to ally ourselves with the working class, who may not necessarily consider themselves to be socialists, or as in my case, I don't consider myself to be a socialist, but I'm in agreement a lot, and I think we have more within the where the two circles meet of the Venn diagram, where I think we have some commonalities.
And I think what many socialists have done is what I feel like I've done in the past, and I try not to do. I think I still fall for it because it's such a bad habit, is to downplay some of our political positions because we think they're going to frighten workers or they're going to disagree with us, so we won't be able to work with them. And that's a mistake. And we need to. They need to hear what our real politics are. They need to hear what real Marxist politics are, whether they like it or not, and then they can disagree with it. They can know what they're dealing with. And so that's what I believe socialists have largely done, is tried to shave off the difficult edges that, you know, that might support the resistance in Afghanistan. They that wants the U.S. to lose in a war. And will side with the, you know, with the Serbian government when the U.S. goes after the Serbian government, would basically say, no, I want the U.S. to lose, you know, which means I'm for them being able to defend themselves. Oh, so you promote the Serbian? Well, yes and no. Yes, I want them to win, but no, I'm not for that kind of government. I'm for a socialist government. But in order for that to happen, I need to stop my own government from its imperialism. And right now, the people who are doing that are the opponents abroad. So socialists have been unwilling to take those kinds of positions.
But I think it has been largely unfair as well, Andy. You know that the propaganda has been very hurt the cause as well, where you have to sort of not state things that frighten people when propaganda is stronger. I think that there have been reasons why some socialists have tried to slowly introduce things and not to scare off people. I agree that you should be completely authentic and not try to hide and try to hide under liberal agenda. No, I agree. And you should not compromise. Where I think that some socialists have come from is where the propaganda against the Red Scare has really frightened people to listen, even if you have some good ideas.
And but I will say this, most socialists today even would say that it was a mistake for the communists at the time to hide their politics in that fight, that they needed to actually put the capitalist system on trial while they were being put on trial. So I think most even socialists would say today that those people, and you're right just to say that the demonization of socialism and the fact that I think socialists have moved rightward in order to try to find an audience has all had this impact. But moving away from our core politics gets us nothing. And I say that, being influenced by that, having done it, I still think I do it. And part of the reason I want to do this channel is to kind of undo that mess and learn how to express my politics as I really think they are, whether I'm right or wrong.
Honestly, you know, authentically.
Honestly, right. Without trying to filter it and, you know, people hearing it for real. Because I was honestly trained to not do that. And I think we have to put it out there straight to people. And I think we're encouraged to not do that. So.
And lastly, I'll just say that I think part of the reason sometimes, like, I feel sometimes you change on me or something is because in our personal history, before we've made what's left, I don't think you've mentioned a lot of the things that we've talked about at the cafes when we were together and talking.
Like, what the hell, right?
But now I see clearly your marked spaces.
Right. Yeah. Anyhow. And I agree with you. And I think you're right. And I'm I'm not gonna say I'm sorry. I am sorry. I did it. It's just
maybe I didn't ask the right question.
No, you didn't. I was gonna. I was gonna hide. I was gonna create like a fiction for you. So no, you were here. You were asking the right questions. You were hearing exactly. And I think that's a really good point. Is I was playing that game that I thought was the game I should be playing. That's what I thought revolutionaries should be doing. I don't believe that anymore. So I'm doing it different now. What this will lead to, who knows? But I feel like the lessons of history are, if you hide your politics never get a chance to actually get in play. And so I think I have to put it out for real. I'm not going to say that I'm some sort of, like I'm the final expert on Marxism, but I do believe I know some Marxism, and I do believe I know what the implications of these politics are. And that's what I'm trying to spell out in this podcast or YouTube channel or whatever.
Right. Well, before we
that was a good point. That was a good
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
And that you said about how things sound different to you now.
They do. They do. All right. So we'll leave it here, and we will hopefully be discussing something else for next week.
We're definitely going to discuss something else. It could be reparations.
It could be an interview.
I don't know if he's going to be back by then, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, I think people were talking about an interview with
my fellow
comrade. Union member, comrade.
Another socialist, and I think it would be interesting to talk about the work we did as socialists at our school and have him kind of interview us.
And sort of contrast, and but not so much a debate. It's more of just showing each other the differences.
The country. And he's a Bernie supporter. Mm. Critical of Bernie, but he's in the DSA and stuff like that. So.
Right. So you can find us. Please rate, review, and please rate, review, comment, share, and with your community, friends, and family. And you can find us on Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes Podcast, and BitChute. And make sure to check them all out. And if you cannot, this is a long episode, if you cannot watch us throughout this entire day, you can always listen to us. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Ciao.